Recon Cast, episode 15.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Recon Cast, just a couple of homeschool dads talking about recovering the faith for all of life. I am Joe Graham, homeschool father of nine. Joining me is my co-host, Dan Stahosky, homeschool father of six. We're out here in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, raising our families, defending liberty and justice against the overrun of humanism and the secular state. We got a really, really great show for everyone today. We're going to be talking about the foundations of our faith. This is going to be really, really critical because it's going to touch on absolutely everything that we do and certainly what's going on in our own personal homeschools. So I want you guys to stick with us here. We're going to have a great show. Let me just go ahead and get going here. We'll bring in my co-host, Dan Stahosky. Dan, brother, how you doing?
Doing really well today, Joe. Excited to get into this topic, foundations. Critical. So excited about that. Excited to explore that with you and to hear our guest speaker, our interview.
Yeah, I mean, that's gonna be exciting. Great. Yeah, we got a very special interview for everybody. So someone had talked about it before in the past, or I think Dan, you and I had talked about, we had started talking about Trail Life, American Heritage Girls and stuff like that, and I didn't have any experience in that. But, you know, truth be told, the fans are out there, and the fans stepped up and they said, hey, you know, I could provide some insight into what's going on in the Trail Life world. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be bringing to you an interview from Mr. Mike Thompson today. But before we get into all that, let's just check in with each other and see how things are going. Dan, brother, man, how's it been?
Life is good. We are nearing the end of winter. We're coming into the spring, and I just love the longer days. I love the sunlight. And so we're getting things ready for spring. I think in the last episode we talked about
the how cleaning. we did some cleaning and went
to the garden store. There were no starts yet. There are now starts.
And there's excited. Even chicks now. The stores have chicks.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do.
And spring chicks.
So it's exciting. That's a fun time of year for us. At our home, we love those. We kind of incorporate that into what we do as a family. Just gives our family a hobby to do together. The more and more, Joe, I don't know about you, the more and more I find how important it is that we have family hobbies. I mean, yeah, as a dad,
absolutely.
I love hobbies, but if they're just for me, it kind of pulls me away from the family. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, I'm trying to learn how to fly fish. I'm trying to learn how to, you know, fish in big rivers, and those are good hobbies. Yeah. But I can't really do that with all my children. So these family hobbies of gardening. And
well, you talked about the fishing thing with the kids before.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying.
It's different. It's different.
we'll redirect. Try something else.
I will someday go fly fishing with my children, I'm sure. But it won't be anytime soon. Not this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we get to do a family hobby, though. And that's a lot of fun. Our family hobby is gardening and getting out there and doing
that's
stuff
great.
in the yard. So it is fun.
Yeah, we got daffodils and stuff that are coming up, and I'm really looking forward to the season progressing here. Out here in the Pacific Northwest, we really are getting it's a really, really great area for a spring. When you talk about the flowers and the seasons that are going on here, the Tulip Festival is going to be happening here pretty soon in April. I've been there. I think that we may have to definitely go out and do a video at the Tulip Festival, and we're going to have to take the drone. That's actually the first time I saw a drone was at the Tulip Festival maybe a year or so ago. Somebody took one, and it looked like so much fun.
Is going to be phenomenal videography.
Yeah.
The Tulip, for those of you who aren't in the Northwest, we have this Tulip Festival, and it's acres and acres of the brightest color tulips you've ever seen. People actually come from all over the world.
They do. It's world renowned.
But it is absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. Some of the
best
pictures.
And it's in our backyard, dude. It's in our backyard.
And you know what? I'd only been, I think the first time I went was two or so years ago, and I've lived in this area for almost 20 years.
I hate that. I don't know why we always do that. Why do we take for granted all the things that are so close to us? I mean, I live on like a tourist hotspot, and I totally take it for granted. We were just discussing this at the table today, and we need to like rectify that and just go out and see some of this stuff. So
that's interesting, because I want to have for a future topic, I want to talk about epic summer vacation or summer vacation planning for us.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Which actually,
we didn't talk about
it
soon, dude, because we're already behind.
It's coming up, and I know we're already planning for it, but it's funny. We always think we have to plan these trips that are so far away. But man, right? But we're actually planning a trip to go into the backyard of someone else, and that person is probably planning a trip to come to our backyard. But we aren't even doing the things in our own.
We should have just collabed it. It would have been so much easier. A little swap. Actually, I think there are places that do that. They do like the house swap dealio.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
You know, where like you swap houses with somebody in an area that you've never been to, and they come swap with your house with your house. You know?
Yeah.
I haven't done that, but. Yeah, we'll have to talk about the whole vacation thing of what's been going on. But, dude, I would not be able to go on vacation if I didn't get back my van. I needed the van. I was hurting.
Tell me more about that.
Well, you heard, we talked about the whole rat infestation. We vlogged about it up on the website. It's on YouTube. Oh, man. It was terrible.
That's awful. I mean, every time I think about it, it's my stomach turns.
It's really gross. So we talked about in the vlog, I was like, oh, they said it'll take a week. No. It has taken pretty much all of Tilly's life for us to get this van back.
That's amazing.
It's like her whole life. She doesn't even know about this van. So probably we're looking at like it's about 7 weeks. But praise God, we finally got it back a couple days ago.
Wow, what an incredible experience. So you got it back.
The behemoth is back.
And I heard that you've got a different flooring in there, and you're good to go.
I don't want you to start coveting, but I would understand because the...
Not my brother.
No, I know, because you're righteous. You've been clothed in righteousness. But
we'll get into that later. We were talking about our foundation, so let's hold that.
Sure. So the transit came with the carpet for the flooring, which was just becoming really difficult. Like the pine needles and stuff kept getting in there, and if you saw the video, it was just collecting dirt at a terrible rate. And so the flooring was actually causing problems because we weren't able to get it replaced because they had to order it straight from like the factory. So we finally just told them, well, hey, do you guys have the vinyl? Because I would rather have the vinyl anyway. It's easier to clean, easier to manage. So sure enough, they were like, yeah, we got the vinyl on just at the warehouse. So they're going to get the new flooring in there, and it's nice. It's going to be way easier to clean.
That's so awesome. Just take a hose out there now and just kind of
spray down. Take a hose. Probably just a broom will manage it, but I couldn't take a broom to the other one before. Everything would get stuck. It was just terrible. It was terrible.
See, I just want to say, this is what homeschool dads care about. Dads of large families, dads of growing families. I mean, these are the things this is what makes us good dads. We're thinking about that.
These are the things of life. Yeah, and mostly I'm thinking about not getting rats in my van again.
Okay, it's important.
And just making it tolerable for my wife so that she doesn't feel utterly embarrassed when we open the van door and trash pours out the side of it. I don't know if that's happened to you, but
I don't want to boost your ego or anything, but I hear a man who's laying down his life for his wife right there. That's you're just taking up your cross for your wife with that thought. Good.
So anyway, so that's good news. I want to share with all the listeners, because I know we got a lot of listeners out there. The fans, hey guys, we have not forgot about the fans. Homeschool dads, we're here. Extreme dads, there's so much stuff going on, and you guys are a part of it. You guys are a part of Reconstruction Life, and we've got a lot of projects that are happening that we're doing on the sides. You haven't heard about all the things that are going on, but I want to share with you something that's coming up very, very soon, coming right down the pipe. Something that I know my family has been using, and I know, Dan, your family also has been blessed by, is by having a really, really great catechism. And we probably could talk a little bit about more about this in a further episode, but I just wanted to let you guys know that catechizing your children is super important. It's a great way for a dad to just get right in there and educate his children in the foundations of the faith, which is kind of exactly what we're talking about today. You know, to be able to spend that time with your children and asking them questions, getting that good response, talking to them about Bible verses that they're memorizing. When I first heard about catechizing my children and I started taking the time to do it, it was a really sweet and precious time that I hold dear in my heart. And so I'm really excited. We've been working hard on this catechism, the whole family. Dan, you talked about projects and hobbies the family was working on. My kids have been really pouring into this, typing things up and helping me organize and formatting and stuff and doing research for publishing and all this. It's really, really fun, really exciting. But so we're going to be bringing this catechism to you. We're going to be offering it digitally. It'll be available first and then also in print. And what I'm really excited about is that the one thing that we were having a difficult time with on our catechisms was that they weren't in the English Standard Version in the ESV, which is the translation that we use primarily in our home. And so, sure enough, we did the research. We got permission from Crossway. We're going to be bringing this catechism to everybody in the ESV. It's going to be really, really great. So I hope that it blesses a bunch of people out there, and I hope they appreciate it, and I hope that they understand that that we are only able to be able to offer this product, which I don't know how much it's going to be yet because I don't have it finalized yet, but it is going to be offered at a price because we're looking forward to continuing to do new projects and bring more things out there. Because I don't know if you knew, Dan, but recording equipment and cameras and computers and stuff, man, that stuff, brother, ain't free. So we have to be able to afford that and keep moving forward with the awesome message that we're bringing, encouraging families. So the catechism is coming. It's going to be here very, very soon. You're going to hear more about it. So
it's very
looking
exciting
forward to bring that.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Cool, Joe. It's a worthwhile adventure and experience for you and your family to be driving into, and it's going to be blessed a lot of people. So I'm excited to take a look at it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. So so let's keep going here. We want to be talking about the foundations of the faith. A very, very important for us to go ahead and set this grounding for everybody. So you guys are going to want to stick with us and stay tuned. We got a lot of stuff coming up here that ReconCast is doing, Dan and myself. So we'll be right back here on the other end of this commercial. So stick with us with more ReconCast.
My name is Andrea Schwartz, and I have been active in Christian education for over 35 years, having homeschooled my three children all the way through high school. Now that they are all graduated and grown, I spend my time mentoring women, helping them become the best teachers for their children. I hold online office hour meetings every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time using the Zoom platform. These get-togethers provide homeschooling moms the opportunity to ask questions and get advice in areas they may struggle with as they educate their children. And for those contemplating homeschooling, they can discover how to get started and stay the course. Each week, I will cover a specific area, but the bulk of the time will be spent addressing issues most pressing to you. These meetings are free, but you must register to participate. Search on Facebook for the event entitled Weekly Office Hours with Andrea Schwartz, and then click on Get Tickets.
Everybody, thanks so much for joining us here at ReconCast. This is part of Reconstruction Life, and Reconstruction Life is all about us encouraging families and building family bonds. And what that just means is that dads are involved. Me and Dan here on talking about as homeschool dads about the things that we're facing with as far as wives are concerned, the stuff that they're thinking about, raising their kids and raising their homes and being a caretaker over the things that are important there in the home. And then even for kids, man, kids, they're learning stuff. They need to be applying the things that they're being taught. All this stuff is part of Reconstruction Life, us as families gathering together and building our family bonds, which is why we wrote our ebook called Building Family Bonds, 5 Ways You Can Bring Your Family Closer Together. I want everyone to get a chance here to sign up for our ebook and hear about the things that we're talking about here at Reconstruction Life. Super important. I think it's really valuable for everybody to understand and be a part of. So please go to our website, www.reconstructionlife.com, and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get that ebook for free, and you can check us out on YouTube. We just showed up on Facebook, but bam, can you believe it? We're on Facebook. I know, Dan just found out the last week, but no big deal. Anyways, but we're out there, and we're trying to serve you guys. We want you guys to hear about this message, and we really, really, really just want to encourage everybody, okay? We're looking around, and we're seeing that the world is broken around us, but we have not been left without a victory and without a hope, and that hope exists in Jesus Christ and in His Spirit, through who empowers us. So, everybody, I want everyone to hear about this message, and I want you to be encouraged. So join us here. Thanks so much for listening to ReconCast, and keep tuning in. All right? Thanks so much. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. The very first verse that needs to be memorized for our catechism. Dan, we're back here with ReconCast. Let me tell you, brother, why this is important. This is foundational truth for everything that we know and that we understand. And I don't know if all of the listeners really appreciate this. I hope that they do. But if not, we're gonna go ahead and expand on this. We're talking about the faithful, the foundations of our faith, and why they're so important. And brother, the foundations of our faith, they don't get much more based by something other than the creation of existence, of everything. That creation in and of itself has to be foundational for our faith. So we're gonna get going here. We're gonna kind of set up this interview for you with Mike Thompson. And so what we're kind of talking about here is what would be in the vernacular, what would be known as presuppositionalism, or what it is that we presuppose about faith or about existence in its entirety. And what it really comes down to is we talked about Genesis 1:1, we talked about creation, but when you read Proverbs, Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And Dan, I'm sure that you can probably say with me, and I know you're going to talk about it here in a little bit, but that concept, that idea, didn't really become palpable to me until I really was able to chew on it, be able to chew on how could it possibly be that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, that idea. But I know that you know, and I know, that concept is critical to what happens in our homeschool, in our life, in family life, and it just starts to affect everything that we do. I'm going to share with you a quote. Absolutely. from Dr. Joe Moorcraft. He wrote Authentic Christianity, Volume 1. It's an exposition of the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism. It's a fantastic book. If I could give a little plug here, it is going to be republished very soon by Visionary and Press, and it's going to come out in 7 volumes. This one is actually in 5 volumes. So it's going to be Smithsonian, and it's going to be a really nice quality copy. But I got one of the original ones that came from American Vision. And let me tell you why this is just a wealth of information here. When we quote Dr. Moorcraft when he's talking about the presuppositions of God's self-revelation, which is what we're talking about in Proverbs 1:7, okay? He says that God is a totally self-conscious, infinite, personal being, which comes from Genesis 1:1. His own being holds no mysteries to him because he fully understands himself. This biblical teaching gives meaning to the truth of divine revelation. God had in himself all knowledge from all eternity. Nothing could be added to his store of knowledge in any process of time. in accordance with his eternal plan and his perfect understanding and interpretation of all things, which interpretation was in his mind before the beginning of creation, all finite things in the universe were made. Therefore, and he's quoting Van Til here, he says, all knowledge that any finite creature of God would ever have, whether of things that pertain directly to God or of things that pertain to objects in the created universe itself, would in the last analysis have to rest upon the revelation of God. Now, this is really, really important. This is important for us, Dan. It means that what God says about himself and his character has to be the foundation for how we interpret, understand everything. Because if he created everything and us being creatures, then even our perceptions, even our interactions, even the way that we process information all has to be screened through the idea that God gives the full and total proper interpretation of everything that we come into contact with. So being creatures, and even adding this, if you read other Van Til literature, being creatures post-fall, even more are we dependent upon the revelation of God to properly understand what life is all about. I mean, Adam and Eve, even before the fall, still needed God's revelation to understand who they were and what they were supposed to do, right? And even more so now that our minds have been marred by the fall and all of creation has been marred by the effects of the fall, we have got to rest solely upon what God says is true about everything that we come in contact with, or else we're creating a perversion, right? So, this is so important, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did you think about this when this idea first came to you and your family?
Well, that's a great question, because I don't know if this is something that we always get taught in a lot of churches or a lot of circles, is the idea of presuppositionalism or having these beliefs that one way to define that is that, you know, presuppositions are simply beliefs that everyone has that affects how they think, how they view the world, how they interpret things, and even how we read the Bible. So it is the foundation. It's what goes into, it's the lens by which we view things. And while we know that, and we get taught that, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, we don't always realize then we should also view all aspects of life, whether it's the education that we receive and bring to our families, whether it's the way we handle money, the way we handle church, food, provisions, work. All of that actually is viewed. We all have a belief around that, and it all should be coming back to a biblical understanding and come from a common foundation. And so when we run into situations where there's incongruency, we end up realizing, oh, this is an area we need to dig into. So for me, it really, when I first started to understand this, it really set me off on a path of discovery of what is it, what is a biblical view of XYZ. And they became really helpful tools for me to understand how to read scripture and how to apply that. So both the orthodoxy and the orthopraxy that gets involved. And I think for a lot of my life, I learned and realized and thought about the orthodoxy, so the theology of it, but I don't know that I always thought about how to apply it. And so for me, when we started thinking about, okay, what are the foundations and what are the presuppositions that I'm holding, I started to realize, oh, that's because I am applying a viewpoint, a worldview, and the question is it a biblical worldview? how close is it to a biblical worldview? And that was a real turning point for me. And I think a real part of my story of having my heart turned towards my family and turned towards home, and which is, I believe, a part for my story anyway, a part of how the prophecy in Malachi is coming to bear, is that's happening. But it came out through learning about, you know, and focusing on these foundations and these presuppositions.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important for us to realize that the Christian triune God must be the foundation for all our life and thinking. Now, as a homeschool dad, you know, this is important. So this means that God has to be foundational for what's getting taught in our homeschool, right? Like, what is it that's getting taught in your homeschool, Dad? What's getting taught in my homeschool, right? And not only are we expecting our children to learn, and I know our wives are laboring with us, and honestly, you know, our wives are spending a lot of time just trying to work through the day-to-day mundane stuff, that they're going to require us to be kind of setting the trajectory, setting the foundations, and really being thoughtful about the things that we're bringing into the home, what we're buying, what we're consuming, what we're educating them with, so that we maintain this presuppositional foundation that says, you know, like in our catechism, one of the questions that we have there is, why ought you to glorify God? And the only answer can be, because he is God. Because that's who he is, because of his nature. Because the very foundation of everything has to do with him being the creator and us not. And the object of worship and of glorification has nothing to do with what he does for us, which he does many things for us. But that is not why we are required to glorify him. We are required to glorify him because he is God, and God is worthy of all glory. So this idea, this concept is really, really important.
It is. And so in Kevin Swanson's book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, I mean, he says it this way. He says, people always live out their fundamental beliefs. They may say they believe one thing while their lives reflect some other creed. So, Joe, it's very easy. We may say, you know, I believe in the triune God. But we might, in fact, be living out a different thing. And so we might be living out a different thing with our families. But he says, so to continue the quote, he says, in a world of 1,000 hypocrisies and lies, there's only one way to determine the true creed of a man. Observe his life and culture. And I think what strikes me about that is, as dads who are trying to be intentional about the lives, the families that we're raising and the lives we're leading, we can take an audit. We can audit our own family here and say, what does our family life look like? What does our family culture look like? Are there things in our culture and in our family life that are incongruent with what a biblical worldview would be like? Are we letting things in to our family that really don't belong in a Christian family? And you know, some of that is a hard question to answer, but I believe our wives love that question too. They love to have that conversation with us. And sometimes when we have spring cleaning, you know, we talk about cleaning up the yard and the house, but we can do a spring cleaning of books and of videos or CDs that just over the year we've allowed, you know, media into the home that doesn't glorify God. And if our children aren't prepared for it, if they're not, you know, able to handle that and defend their faith, then let's clean that up. I think it's a great activity to take at this time of the year. To just clean up, do a wholesale, go take it to Goodwill, take it to a consignment shop, and just clean it up. It doesn't belong in a Christian family, and it's not the law. It's it comes out of a change of the heart that the Holy Spirit leads by, you know, the Romans 12, right? Renew your mind. And it is a change because these are fundamental beliefs. We have to know that it's the Holy Spirit who changes those beliefs. So as we lean in, we look to the Holy Spirit to change that, to change our hearts, change our minds. And as he does, we will see our creed come in line with the Christian creed.
Yeah, that's going to be really hard, too, also, because, for us here in the Pacific Northwest, the Christian homeschool conference season is coming up here pretty soon. So the vendors are going to be out in full force trying to peddle absolutely everything.
Absolutely.
Everything out there under the sun. So it's going to be tough. But I agree. I agree. We're going to be at the homeschool conference, and I've got a marketing ploy that I'm going to use, and I'm going to say, hey, if you've only got $40 to spend on your homeschool curriculum this year, you need two books basically, and you can get it all done, and you'd have to come to the homeschool conference to know what I say those two books are, but the reason why.
Wow, what a teaser! Look at you.
But the reason why is because you have to really get down to the foundations of what you're doing with your education. If you don't get that straight, then you're just going to be spinning your wheels, and you're going to spend a fortune purchasing up all kind of stuff that's not relevant to making sure that your children have a firm, solid foundation in the fear of the Lord, because that's what they need to know what they need to know. So
that's right.
That's why I love guys like Kevin Swanson, because they're committed to this idea, you know. So as an example here, I've got a quote here from Rush Dooney when he wrote the book The Biblical Philosophy of History. Not one of the two books, I might add, but a good one. But his quote here says that education must be Christian, because all non-Christian education is committed to beliefs which are either implicitly or explicitly at war with the Christian faith. Christian education must also be philosophically informed and epistemologically self-conscious. That's a 25-cent word there. It cannot be Christian unless it rethinks every area of study in terms of a consistent and systematic biblical faith. You know, brother, we talked about, and I posted up there on our Facebook wall the interview that James Dobson did with Roy Moore, not the Supreme Court justice guy, but the Exodus Mandate guy, and they're seeing it. Dan Smithwick from Nehemiah Institute, who we hope to get on the show here pretty soon, they're seeing it, and I think that Christians are waking up to realize that we have got to be so much more intentional about what's going on with the education in our homes. And not just what we're doing in our homes, what's happening outside our homes. And so this is important because as you'll see here in this interview with Mike Thompson, that what we do is explicitly impacted by what we believe. And so Mike Thompson here, great brother, known him for many years. He's a fan. He's not the fan, but he's a fan. You know what I mean. He's not the fan. There's only one the fan, but there's many a fans.
We know who he is, but there are many fans, and we love them.
There are many.
We love every fan.
But so this brother is faced with the same difficult dilemma, and I can't explain to you how challenging it would have been if I was in the shoes that he was in, carrying on a legacy that had lived in the Boy Scouts for so long, and he wants to be committed to this idea, but he realizes that the foundations of the institution have become destroyed. So what is it that he's going to do? And he's thinking about it, and he talks about it here in this interview about why he's making changes and how he's making those changes, and so how it relates to what's happening outside his homeschool, which, let's be serious, it really is part of his homeschool, right? Because he's teaching his sons, he's teaching other sons, so he's even really probably a part of other people's homeschool too, with what he's doing with Trail Life. Great talk, so much good information for us to share. I want you guys to hear this, and I want you guys to listen and pay attention, and I just want it to resonate with everybody, okay? So we'll be back here on our next episode, episode 16. You guys let this interview sink in. You guys think about where your foundations are as you listen here to me and Mike Thompson talking about trail life. All right, everybody. So I'm here with Mike Thompson. He is a Christian homeschool dad. Also another military pilot. He came from a military family, which kind of gave a little bit of that spur for him to get into the military background. He's been a Boy Scout member since he was 7 years old. He's been with the Boy Scouts, or at least was, till 2013. His father was a scoutmaster of his troop, and he became an Eagle Scout. He's now a Trail Life member, has been since 2014, and he has currently two sons in Trail Life now. So I'd like to welcome Mike Thompson to the show. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Thanks for taking my interview. I've been listening to your podcast now, all 13 episodes. It's great, and I just look forward to watching your ministry bloom over the next few years.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And so what our efforts are is we're trying to reach homeschool dads like yourself and just kind of talking about the things that are important to homeschool dads. So so this issue of the Boy Scouts and trail life has kind of been in the news a bit. We talked about it on one of the episodes, and then that kind of spurred us to say, hey, we'd really like to talk to somebody that's in trail life and kind of just work through with them how they got into it and why they made that transition. So thank you so much for reaching out to us. So let's just kind of find out here, what exactly is Trail Life USA and how is it different from Boy Scouts?
Okay, so first of all, Boy Scouts was founded in America just over 100 years ago. It was originally founded as a Christian organization, and their motto they have that a scout is reverent, and their oath they have that a scout will do his duty to God and his country. And originally, that meant the Christian God. Right now, the Boy Scouts' official policy says that Scouts is an absolutely non-sectarian organization in its attitude towards religious training. And it says that Boy Scouts does not define what constitutes belief in God or practice of religion. So you can compare that to Trail Life, who has at their, in order to be an adult leader, you have to agree to a basic Christian statement of faith, which says that we believe there is one triune God, God the Father, Jesus Christ, His one and only Son. So essentially, it goes on from there. The oath is very similar. I will, on my honor, I will do my best to serve God and my country. But when they say God, they mean the Christian God, whereas Boy Scouts means whatever God you want. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
Additionally, the statement of values that is purity, service, stewardship, and integrity. And the goal of the organization, the vision, is to be the premier national character development organization for young men, which produces godly and responsible husbands, fathers, and citizens. As you mentioned, the news recently for the Boy Scouts kind of flared up again when about late January 30th, they announced that transgender boys would be allowed into the organization. You can see that, you know, once you allow a relativistic perspective on what a godly standard is, then you kind of begin to slip and keep slipping. So in 2013, my family was still a member of Boy Scouts, but they announced at that time that they would rescind their longstanding ban on homosexual youth participating in the program. They stated that no youth would be denied membership on the basis of sexual orientation. That's a little bit different from Trail Life, which says that in terms of sexual identification and behavior, we affirm that any sexual activity outside the context of the covenant of marriage between one man and woman is sinful before God and therefore inconsistent with the values and principles of this program. So within these limits, they are willing to grant membership to adults and youth who do not engage in or promote sexual immorality of any kind or engage in behavior that would become a distraction to the mission of the program. So in as far as Baden Powell, the founder of Boy Scouts, originally designed the program to get boys outside into God's creation so that they could be boys and grow up into men. Baden Powell was an Army Ranger equivalent in the British Army. And he just wanted to get young guys outside and train them up into manly, honorable service. And he started it as a Christian organization. But it's come a long way since then. Now, about 110 years later, it's had a lot of backsliding. So in the spring of 2013, an organization called On My Honor was a group of Christian Boy Scouts who decided to start looking at pulling away. So for the longest time, Christian men and families had stayed inside of Scouts, very much like the Puritans. But when Scouts decided to allow homosexuals and transgender and to say that whatever God you want is okay with us, then that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for the Christian families. So we decided to be pilgrim separatists and step outside the organization. So at that time, there was a conference, about 4,000 men that met in Tennessee to come up with some other organization, and we called it Trail Life USA. And now my family at that time decided that we could come away from our, since I was 7 year old, relationship with scouting and step into something new on the principle that they were doing it for God. So I was willing to take my two boys who had already started in Cub Scouts and separate into Trail Life, even though I knew it would be smaller and maybe not as well recognized as Boy Scouts.
I know that these kind of issues are extremely difficult decisions for families to make because much like your family, people have a history, and there was a heritage associated with Boy Scouts of America. So it was a difficult decision. I can certainly appreciate that. But I think it's important for us because there's been some redefinition that's been occurring in our society for quite some time. And so what it seems like what Trail Life is doing is they are reestablishing foundations to execute to recommit themselves to the purpose of saying, no, we want to create Jesus Christ and the triune God honoring people that adhere to these principles, the statements of faith, and that are going to be uncompromising. So that's definitely a tremendous effort and very, very glad and proud that's happening. What sort of things were you guys thinking about when this transition was going on?
So, like you mentioned, my dad was my scoutmaster. Both of my brothers and I are all Eagle Scouts. We've been doing it for a really long time, so there's the benefit of being a part of a established organization that everybody in the world recognizes. So when a person says, "I'm an Eagle Scout," they get points on their job resume, they get points on their scholarship application. It's even easier to get into the Naval Academy or into the military if you are already an Eagle Scout. You get promoted just for having done that. So, you know, having both a family tradition and a whole lot of benefit in the eyes of man of being an Eagle Scout, it was certainly much like deciding to homeschool if you're in a really good school district. But the school is teaching secular statist ideas. It comes time for the family to say, you know, I could make more money if my wife was working, and this school is free, and it's one of the best schools in the state, perhaps. And you know, but my family is going to take the financial burden and the time burden and educate our kids on the basis that wisdom and knowledge come from God, period. So if my kids don't use the same quality of textbook or don't get the right piece of paper or pedigree, but they turn out as Christians and they get to spend time with me, then it's worth it. So
I guess what we end up seeing is that people are seeing the fruit of labors, but that they want to deny the principle or the source of some of those fruits. So and that seems like something that probably happened with the Eagle Scouts. So now that people are making that transition, and they're certainly making sacrifices, like you said, but in some sense, you're also making history because you are being an example to many other families that are faced with many of these same issues. And what families like yours and other families are out there thinking about is fighting against the pragmatic approach that says, hey, if it works, then we're going to go ahead and do it, but are actually basing their foundations on something much more immovable and eternal.
You're exactly right. And you know, there's that other little piece that you mentioned already, the family tradition and the knowledge that at one point the organization was sound, and that there's many members who are still in the organization that are still quite sound and that are very strong Christians trying to fight back inside the organization to make it back into what they originally knew it to be. But for my family, the opportunity to be a part of something new with a really sound principles in my mind was something that I thought was valuable. I wanted my boys to see, and my daughters as well, to see that Dad is willing to step aside from something that was important to his family, to our family, and intentionally do something harder and different and maybe less prestigious, with the intent of saying and standing on when I tell them things like, do what's right even when it's hard, or even when it's less popular. What kind of lesson am I teaching them if I say, well, we'll do that every single time except the Boy Scouts because our family has been a member for a long time?
Right.
So we elected to go with what was right instead of what was easy.
So let's talk a little bit about Trail Life and what they're doing. What sort of impression are you getting now that you've been with the organization for a few years? How do you guys like it? How do you enjoy it?
Okay, so essentially the organization it goes from age 5 up to age 25 as, you know, quote, youth members. The 18 to 25-year-old age bracket is obviously geared towards college age, and in that arena, it is co-ed. And the 5-year-old to 18-year-old, it is youth members. So the ages from 5 to 10 are very similar to Cub Scouts. From 11 to 15, very similar to Boy Scouts. And then from 15 through 18, it's very similar to what would be the Venture program in Boy Scouts, with more, slightly more outdoor boy-led activities. So far, I have enjoyed the organization because it's in its infancy, so it's allowed a lot of local creativity. And it's been very appropriate in my mind for homeschool families. They're used to getting behind and pushing and starting from scratch and making new things that were not there before. So from that perspective, I really enjoy it. It is designed as well to kind of complement the American Heritage Girls, which is very similar, the girl equivalent, if you will, of Trail Life. So the church that sponsors my son's Trail Life troop also sponsors the AHB organization, and the two of them meet on the same night at the same time, do separate things in different parts of the church, but the families all get to go on the same time, so it doesn't eat into the family's schedule quite as much with that arrangement. Additionally, I have very much enjoyed that unlike Boy Scouts, which is often parents drop their kids off and then go shopping and come back when the event is over, we encourage dads to stay because it's designed for a group of men to mentor up their sons into manhood together and not for just the scout leader to do it for you.
Right.
But instead, dads and their boys meeting together.
So it's seems like they're training both fathers and sons at the same time.
I'll say that not every adult male is as equipped or as used to leading their boys, especially in the outdoor world. So there is a whole lot of ironing, sharpening iron going on together, and it's very good. Some men are better at administrative functions and maintaining rosters, and other men are better at standing in front of the group and teaching about backpacks and first aid and that sort of thing. So the talents of the adult men are able to be brought to bear to hone the kids. The other thing that arrangement makes much more effective is the discipline of children who are not behaving. It is much easier to turn to the actual parent and say, hey, please take care of your child, than it is to try and creatively discipline someone who you legally cannot spank.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be challenging for you. So it sounds like the Trail Life could be something that quite a bit of people that are listening to our show might be interested in. How would they, you know, find a group that's in their area?
Okay, so if you go to www.traillifeusa.com, there will be a tab for starting or finding a troop. They have a fairly simple a troop locator or how to get connected, where you can find, based on your zip code or a map, look for a troop, then reach out to that, see if there's a local troop near you. There are troops in most states. Now, it may not be very close to you, but it is possible to find one. For myself, in Newport, Rhode Island, where I was at the Naval War College when Trail Life started, there was no troop. And there was no church. There was about to start a troop. So I had to go ask my pastor and several of the other homeschool dads and men in the church if anybody would be interested. The pastor initially was hesitant because he didn't want another organization to start and fail. But I was able to ask him to pray about it and told him that I would be willing to make sure that the church budget didn't take a hit for the chartering of the organization, that my family and a couple others that I had already gotten on board would make sure that it wouldn't come out of his funds. And then I promised them that I would try hard to teach some of the men in the church how to camp with their boys and take them outside. And that if that happens for even a short period of time and then stops, that it would still be a benefit to the church community. So even if we started an organization, taught some dads how to camp for a few months, and then it fizzled out, then it would still be something valuable. And he agreed with that and decided to let me give it a shot, and it worked out really well. So it was very good.
So you've got some experience then starting these troops up. If there isn't one in your area, so I know that may be easier for people who have some familiarization with Boy Scouts, but I'm sure there's families, dads out there, much like you said, that don't have as much experience with either the Boy Scouts or trail life. So is there anything preventing them, like if someone doesn't have experience, you know, because honestly for myself, I've never done Boy Scouts. It wasn't something that my family did. So I'm just checking on the website, and there's actually not a trail life organization anywhere near me. So like if it was a guy like me, how difficult would it be to get something started, especially from the fact that I have no experience with it?
So it would not be too difficult to start a troop. The challenge would be trying to find somebody who's used to camping in some way. The organization definitely is aimed towards getting people outdoors, but that does not mean you have to go on a 2,000-mile Pacific Crest Trail hike on the first day. So you can start with outdoor picnics in big cabins or big, you know, 8-person family tents. Additionally, our troop in both Rhode Island and my current troop in New Jersey, we do camping as families occasionally. So if you have any adult male who has ever gone camping with his family, it is possible to figure it out. So it is definitely better if you can find somebody who's been in Scouts before. Just because the organizations have a similar organizational structure. But any military dad or sports coach or outdoor enthusiast should have the basic tools needed. Additionally, the organization does periodic adult leader training in a few spots throughout the country. So, for instance, some of the adult leaders in my troop are going nearby to Pennsylvania next month to do some adult mentorship and training together, even though we have some experience. So that'll be a time for people with absolutely no experience through people who have a few years of scouting under their belt to get a little bit better handle. We have things like homeschool conferences, but for trail life leadership that people can go to.
What are the most valuable things that that families are getting from the trail life experience? What's the value that they're getting?
So, for me, I think that the most important thing is just the father-son time together in an organization that the organizational goal, among others, is to train boys up into Christian men. So you're doing things like Bible study, creation study, sorts of faith activities together with other men and families. And it's beneficial, especially for boys maybe who, you know, even for dads to get together and watch how other dads lead their families in Bible study or worship or discipline or organizational skills, what each other's strengths and weaknesses are, how we overcome the inevitable conflict as adults, and they get to stand there and watch us do that. So they can see how dads in a group of other dads do things together. And then occasionally, when we do family activities with other families, especially when it's outdoor cooking or fishing or hiking or camping or service projects together, when you get to do that together with a group of men and boys, I think that is probably the true strength of the organization, is that unlike Boy Scouts, which segregates ages between the younger boys and the older boys are in two different organizations. So the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts maybe meet up once or twice a year. And then usually those organizations, the Cub Scouts is very frequently led by women, which is not inherently bad, but it's hard for women to teach boys to be men. And then the younger boys are separate from the older boys, so they don't get a chance to see how teenagers and young adult men act. So you take all that together, and with Trail Life, very frequently, you know, older 18-year-old, 17-year-old, 16-year-old boys are put in charge of teaching 5, 6, 7-year-old boys whatever skill is the topic that night. So the fact that older boys are working with younger boys under the supervision of Christian dads is pretty powerful.
So if there are dads out there or families out there that are looking to, you know, figure out some things that they can do together, I know that sometimes that can be slightly overwhelming, and they're just looking for some ideas, and they, you know, they're a Christian family, but maybe they are realizing, and hopefully they're realizing that you know, the times there are changing a little bit, and they see that, wow, this, we really, really, really need to be focusing on the discipleship of our children. So for homeschool families, for sure, I think they are already thinking along those lines. They're probably already in that vein. And so now this looks like just trying to get some more tools, some more resources in people's tool bag to help them out. So is there any distinction with American Heritage Girls, or what have you thought about the value in that? Is it similar?
It is very similar. As a matter of fact, there are many families who are using Trail Life and American Heritage Girls, or AHG, badge requirement as a supplement to their homeschool curriculum. So just because it's such a wide variety of things that you can do, from first aid, personal management, camping, outdoor cooking, the Trail Life and AHG both have a thing for supporting pregnancy care clinics and Right to Life activities, all sorts of stuff. So pretty much if you are interested in something, they probably have a badge for it. So you can get a little bit of credit towards, you know, on a uniform, a little bit of praise and recognition publicly for the hard work that most homeschool families are already doing. And AHG and Trail Life both do that effectively. If you are blessed to be in a community where there is already a Trail Life and AHG nearby or at the same church like mine, then that is very helpful. If you are not, then I encourage homeschool co-op groups to strongly consider looking into what it would take for them to start both organizations simultaneously to work together. They're both very similar statement of faith and values for the adults and the girls. So it can be really helpful for, you know, as an example, the Trail Life group hosted a camping skills day for the girls group not long ago, and were able to show them some of the skills that they had learned. And this is young teenage boys teaching slightly younger girls how to do stuff, which is very similar to what they may be called to do as men and husbands later in their life. So just two strong organizations that I really encourage people to look into doing.
Well, that's great. Well, certainly appreciate your efforts and your energy that you're devoting to this, and especially to your family. I know that they appreciate that as well. So definitely going to be encouraging people to go check out Trail Life. Remember, you can go to traillifeusa.com or AmericanHeritageGirls.org and kind of look out and see if there's something in your area. So, Mike Thompson, sir, thank you so much for your time.
Happy to help, Joe, and just like I said, keep up the ministry. It's encouraging for me, and I'm sure for many others out there. So keep doing what you're doing.
All right, great. Thanks so much. We'll guys talk to you later. Bye.